was drawn to what I could not understand. For the cause of Christ, I spent my days believing that what he had me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weak side of me, I
Lord never sees. How many love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
We must come out on a hot summer day. And so it's good to be with you. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. Just remember the ones that are missing. Remember the Elijah and Rachel will be traveling a few days coming back home. Just remember them. It's a long ways. A long ways to drive. Ran into people from Idaho just a couple of days ago. It's a long drive, so let's just remember them. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning. The title of this, Getting Into the Spirit, and I want to have a little subtitle, Discerning the Lord's Body. And these are just one scripture. There's several of them in series we're just going to read. I don't know if she was able to get those back on the system. I know we're looking forward to a time when we get on the other side and we don't have to mess with wires and electronics and computers that crash right in the middle of service and everything else. So, but anyway, so she's been diligent to put those up there. Just several scriptures. We're familiar with them, but I want to just read them all because they all pertain to what I want to speak to you about this morning. This first one, I always think about this scripture when I think of our name, of our church. And God is a spirit, not three, not whatever. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the next one will be Galatians 3:3. Paul speaking to the Galatians, he said, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Be a good thing to ask ourselves. Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Galatians 5:25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Revelations chapter 1, verse 10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And let's just pray. Lord, as we just come to you now, just in this portion of service, Lord, we just appreciate that you've provided us this time and opportunity and desire to be here in your house. And we're asking, Lord, that you would take these scriptures, the bread of life, that you would break this to your children. Lord, that you would bring these all together, that it would make an impact in their lives, make sense, Lord, that it would speak to them. God, that you would just cause them to be strengthened thereby. Their walk with you would just be enhanced. We love you, Lord, and we just pray that you take this service now, everything in your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Getting into the Spirit, subtitle, Discerning the Lord's Body. You know, so no doubt, you know, we can look out and we know that all across the world, around the world, there are millions, maybe billions of people who want to be Christians, or at least they want to be associated with that imagery or that idea. Some of them probably just want to be associated with Christianity just because they want the blessings that comes with Christ, the blessings of, hey, I'm going to get to go to heaven and so forth. So there's millions of people, man, just hundreds of denominations, and I don't know how many there are now. I think at one time there was over 900 different ones. And so they all want and all believe and all think that they're doing things that's representing Christ, that's a living a life as a Christian. And you remember, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. So something about us would have to be somewhat representing his true nature, his life. And so there's just millions and millions of people, and there's almost as many different opinions, there's many different expressions of what Christianity is supposed to be. There's almost as many of those as there is people. There's just, it's just, you know, all over the place, all over the board. Some of them very extreme, and some of them really just so relaxed, and some of them don't represent Christianity at all,
right.
And yet they all carry that name. They all want to claim that they're part of this body of Christ. And so there's just lots of them. And the reason why it's this way, obviously, is because they're not living the Christian life by revelation.
Right.
And when I say revelation, I mean, when I say that, I'm also in the same sense saying they're not living Christian life in the Spirit.
Right.
Because it is the Spirit of God that gives you revelation.
That's right.
So we want to talk about that this morning. Getting into the Spirit. Getting into the revelation. Living the revelation. And so, I said that about the world, but we must realize that we're no different. We as believers, we believe a message, and we have so much of the Word that has been opened up to us in this end time. And I know, as in human nature, we can become desensitized to something. We sometimes forget just how much God has done and given and revealed and so forth. And so we need to remember that, I think, like I said the other night, not just to hear of the Word, but not just a discipline, you know, just learning or whatever, but to live is what it's all about. And so we're no different in message than the rest of the world, and the fact that we all have our ideas. We can have our own ideas of what it means to live the message or what it means to be a Christian.
Right.
And so we all have different opinions, and this is why Brother Bram so much of the time said, and I mentioned the other day, just, you know, I know my words can fail. I know that I can misunderstand something, right? But his word does not fail. It will not. And so I can stand up here, and if I know that if I just tell you what he says, I know everything can be fine because it doesn't fail.
Right.
See, so I don't put confidence even in my own ability to put scriptures together and say them to you. I put my confidence on him to quicken what he has said and make it plain to you.
Yeah.
And so we're no different than them. We just all have our own ideas, but we must remember that if we're going to live this message, or we're going to live a Christian life in this day, which is the message. Message has always been with us. But if we're going to do that, then it can't be from our own ideas. It has to be quickened to us by the Holy Spirit. It has to be a revelation. So what we live must come from revelation.
Right.
That's how that the Lord was going to appear when the apostles. You're going to hide yourself from the world, but then you're going to make yourself known to us. And how's this all going to work? And so we understand it is, he does it by the Holy Spirit, by revelation.
Right.
So we just need to remember that we're the same way, that we must live by revelation. And so people, I look out and I don't, you know, I always feel like I come across harsher than what probably you think I do. And sometimes I realize, I feel like maybe I need to be a little firmer about things to try and get the point across to different people or different ones or different situations. And I pray that that I'm not offensive, but yet I want to speak the word. And I still see among the message people, I realize the world, they can do whatever they think and have whatever, but I still see among a people who claim to be a message people, and I'm not talking about just here, I'm just talking about message in general, and I still hear and see things that absolutely does not belong in a Christian life.
Right.
I still hear opinions given in conversation, just sit around. You know, we are, as ministers especially, we are people watchers. We look at fruit and so forth, and we all make mistakes and so forth, but this message came to be a discipline for us. And so the Holy Spirit is to come right in, right behind what God has revealed, and quicken these things just so we can live, truly live, a message for now.
Right.
And so I still see things, and I'm like, they're not listening. They're not They're not listening to the letter of the message. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're not listening to what's coming across the pulpit. Because if they were, they would not be circumventing and trying to find ways to get around things.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, you can hear it from Bible. You can hear it from the message, from sermons of Brother Branham. You can hear it from this pulpit. You can go to camps. You can hear it. And I've watched it. They listened and heard these things for years. No matter where you go with the message and hear the, and they still are living out things contrary to what the gospel really is.
Right.
And that is because it's not become a revelation to them.
Right.
Because you cannot live it if you don't have a revelation.
Right.
And if you don't have a revelation to any portion of God's word or the entire whatever portion, you cannot properly live that portion of scripture unless it is revealed to you. All you have is an intellectual understanding of what you think it is, which is no different than somebody else with their idea and somebody else with their idea. It has to come back to there has to be an ultimate of God's word and the Holy Spirit to quicken that to you, that you might live it according to his revelation right now in this day.
Yeah.
And so, if people had a true revelation of these things, they wouldn't be trying to circumvent them. And so, you know, we've all heard this phrase, give a man a fish and feed him for a day, right? But if you teach a man to fish, you'll feed him for the rest of his life. And I pray the Lord help me to make this little hump here of what I'm talking about. Just give someone the letter of the message, and there's only so far he can go. But if you give him the revelation of the message for the rest of his life, he won't be living out something contrary or trying to figure out, well, this is what I think or this. He'll know what it means.
Right.
He'll know exactly what it is to live the message.
Yeah.
And so you can just, you know, like Brother Ram said, heard it again the other day, to convert people to Christianity by its government. That's not God's idea at all.
No.
You can take this word and say, this is what it says, now you live it. That's not God's idea. God's idea is for you to get Christ in you, and he'll live it.
Right.
That's what it's all about. And until that happens, then you've got thousands of different denominations, millions of different expressions of what's supposed to be Christianity, and they're all wrong. If it doesn't come from revelation, because that's the only thing that Satan can't prevail against, right?
Right.
I'll build my church on revelation, and the gates of hell cannot come against it. So we want, as what you understand what I'm saying, we don't want to just give a man a fish. We want to teach him. And I'm not talking about just teaching you into this. I'm saying, you know, because the scripture tells us the real teacher is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's the one that will teach you and guide you into all truth.
Right.
And so, you can say, well, Brother Tony, we hear that all the time. That's right. That's what the gospel is all about. To preach every which way you can is to get people to understand you must die out to self and have him come in you, and then you can live it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's just all over the place.
Yeah.
Amen. So, if you get into the Spirit, then you can recognize the truth of what it is. You can recognize, you know, you can have a lot of people come in, and all of them come in, and they're all claiming to be Christ. And they all, each one had their own little beard and their own, and then and if you're looking on the outward, you're like, well, I don't know. I don't know. But if you have the revelation of the Spirit of Christ, you can recognize it. You can recognize which one is and which one's not. That's just trying to teach you to understand what I'm getting at is we must get into the spirit of the message to recognize what's right, to express what's right. And so once you know by the Spirit, that's why it tells us to pray in the Spirit and all the different scriptures we read there, then it makes all the difference in the world. And so, you know, deception stops when you're in the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about, because people have all kinds of spiritual things, but if it's really the Spirit, then it agrees with the Word. But deception does, it stops when you get into the Spirit. You know, and so it's a, look at it from this standpoint, male attribute. You cannot impregnate a man. Because man is not seed receiver. He is seed giver. And so man cannot be deceived. Adam was not deceived. She was. When the male attribute is presence, in present, there is no deception. You understand? When the male is present, there can be no deception. When you get into the Spirit, which is getting Christ in you, anointed with Him in you, then you can see clearly and plainly, and there is no deception. When you have Him.
Right.
Because He's the male attribute. And so we realize this at the end, that the revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole entire thing, that God was going to take all the mystery of the ages, and at the end He was going to pour that revelation out into His church. And when that male attribute comes to the church, no deception anymore in the church. But not if you don't get the revelation. If you say, well, I'm in the message, but you don't have the revelation, then there's still deception. But when you come in contact with the male bird, as Brother Branham said, now you're gonna hatch some eggs, you know, and they'll be alive, as he was saying. You have to be with the male bird. You have to be with Jesus Christ to produce the real thing. And so we know here at the end, when God would pour out this revelation, and He has, then it's to remove deception out of the church. Why? Because, you know, once she's impregnated, no seed can touch her and impregnate her. She's already sealed. Her womb's already sealed. Because she's already been with the male. You follow me? This is terminology Brother Branham used, right? I mean, he knows that, right? He talked about this. And so, you got to get the male bird with us if we're talking about, you know, as he said about hens and so forth. To bring forth eggs. She's got to be with male to be germinized. I've mentioned several times, you know, there's the rhema word, which is the word, the written word, and so forth. But logos is the word including the thought. And so, you know, a person, I can say something, but that doesn't mean that you understand what my thought is. But once you catch the revelation, the thought behind what I'm saying, then you're not deceived. You know exactly what I mean. And that's the thing here in the scriptures. We must know exactly what God was talking about. And the only way to know that is not the letter of the word, which we have to have that, but the quickening of that word that comes by the Holy Spirit, then there's no more deception.
Right.
No more deception when that happens. And so, how many remembers the quote, I'll try to say it. When the bride, when the church, when she gets a revelation of the two spirits in the framework of the church, you know, the Antichrist, and when she gets what? A revelation. When she gets a revelation of those two spirits there that's in the framework in the church all intertwined, and by God's Spirit, she withstands that false spirit, she will become an invincible army. When? What? When she gets a revelation, when she gets into the spirit of the message, and then she'll understand what's going on, and then that intertwined deception won't deceive her anymore, because now she's in the spirit and she's caught the revelation. And he said when that happens, and then she takes that revelation and she begins to live it, by God's Spirit, withstand that false thing, she will become an invincible army.
Yeah.
No more deception. No more being impregnated with a false teaching or a false idea. And so when we have logos, which is the word that came out of the mouth of God and created everything, there's no deception in logos because the thought's there too.
Right.
So God, getting into the Spirit gives us prevailing power. Brother Bradley tells us this is in the church age book. He said, there is nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. See, in verse 3, a blessing is pronounced on those who have who give special attention to this book. I think this refers to the Old Testament customs of the priests reading the word to the congregation in the morning. You see, many could not read, so the priest had to read it to them. And as long as it was the word, the blessing was there. It didn't matter if it was read or heard. Let me back up. I didn't read at the right spot. Let me back up a little bit here. So, Brother Ram says, the book of Revelation is the consummation of scriptures. It is even placed exactly right in canon of scriptures at the end. Now, you can know why it says that anyone who reads or even hears is blessed. It is the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. And you can see why it would that they who would add or take away would be cursed. It would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? It is that simple that there is nothing of such prevailing power as a revelation of the word. And see that in verse 3 is pronounced a blessing of those given to those who have give attention to this book, and I think it refers to the Old Testament where they was reading, and so that was where I read the rest of it in there. And so Revelation came at the end because God was going to give to the bride of Christ the revelation at the end, and with that revelation comes prevailing power to overcome the enemy, power for a rapture,
right.
Power to live right, power for this world and all the death that's going on out there not to come into your dwelling. So we can see that. See, in the Old Testament, they had to have someone read it or they could read it, and so they were blessed. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes and brings the revelation of the word to you. Not just to be able to hear it or know it, not just rhema, but to bring the revelation of the word to you so that you understand exactly what is in Christ Jesus. That's the difference. And so we can never rightly express the message without the revelation of it. Can never do that. And so we know here at the end time, we should have this revelation in our hearts, and it should be burning in our hearts.
Right.
And we'll read a quote where Brother Rem talks about that. This is, in what house will you build me? And I've mentioned portions of this several times in the past. Hope you don't get tired of hearing me repeat myself sometimes. But Brother Rem says, this was close to the end of his ministry. This was in November of 65. What house will you build me? That's when Brother Perry Green went to Tucson and started a church there. And you know, kind of like what we're talking about here, you know, that all these people around the world that have their idea of Christianity, and remember Brother Epps said idolaters, where you form something that you think is the image of God, and you think God lives and works through that. And that's what organized religion is. And people have their own ideas, and they believe they have built a house for God. They believe that they're living something that God could come and dwell in. But it's their idea, not by revelation. And so, to me, this speaks where he says, what house will you build me? What house will we build him? We can't build him something of our own ideas.
Right.
See, it has to come by revelation. He has to build it.
Yeah.
And so, Brother Bram says, I know that each one of you, if you feel like I do, I'm so hungry to see the Spirit of God moving.
Right.
Now, this is a prophet who's seen the dead raised and all the things that happened right at the end of his ministry, and he says, I'm hungry to see the Spirit of God move. Mm-hmm. If you're like me, you feel like I do, I'm so hungry to see the Spirit of God move, I just can't hardly stand it. Some experiences I just had in the mountain just to feel that once again. That's something that when I was first saved, that was so glorious to my heart. And we can come into a place and we can sit and we see it among us that we're drying. Remember, we're drying. As we sit here in the desert, I get among my brethren, and I talk. They talk to me, and I talk to them always, and in a little way, watching and feeling out there with the Spirit, as it was to see the condition of that brother, to see what's wrong. I begin to feel it. It's all reclining. We're getting from the Spirit. We're getting away from the Spirit. It has become too natural of a thing to us. We must worship in spirit. And this is my caution to us. This is what we love the message. We love coming to church. We love the fellowship we have after service and all that. But we must work to make sure that this does not become a natural thing to us, that we're just coming naturally, just in our own way, but that Christ is still the burning flame in our heart, and that everything we do is based on that. And that gets first place. Right? And so we enjoy our fellowship and that, but if what you look for on Sunday is our afternoon fellowship more than service, there's something wrong. Right. The Word has got to be the burning flame in our heart, the Spirit of it. And so he said, we're getting away from the Spirit to become too natural a thing to us. We must worship in spirit where the Spirit of God, he said, not only our message should be the flame of the hour, it should be the flame of our hearts, see? It's got to be in our hearts. It's got to be in our hearts, right? Or we can't rightly present it to the people.
Right.
Yeah.
The Spirit has to pack the message itself. So we can pack the message, but if it's not, if the flame of it's not what's packing it, then it's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. So this is the caution he's giving. Right at the end of his ministry, God getting ready to take him off the scene, and this is what he's telling us. It's got to be by the Spirit. And so we can never rightly express to the people what God really wants them to see if it's by some other method than by walking in the Spirit or by revelation. I think we all want to be a tabernacle for the Lord. But he has to build that. You know, what is that? What house will you build me, saith the Lord? And where is the place of my rest?
Right.
You know, he's built all these things, right? How could we ever think, you know what, I'm going to build something and he's going to come inhabit it? We can't do that.
Right.
But he can. Right. You know, most people, you know, years ago when we built our house, you know, most people, if you're building a house, you're going to build it to the way you want it, right? And years later, you've decided you wished you'd done it different. But the point is, God knows how to build the place that he wants to dwell in.
Right.
Right? So he has to do that. So, but the other day, just kind of, you know, the Lord, just about a week ago, I think maybe it might have been the service when Brother Daniel was preaching last weekend, you know. As a minister, it can be a song, it can be somebody else preaching, it can be scripture, it can be somebody says something, whatever. The Lord is just quickening. And there's a thought, you know. And so, but I want you to think on this wise. When the revelation of the Word of God, some portion, like serpent seed or anything, when the revelation strikes you and you know God has revealed something to you there out of that word, that true meaning of that word, it's revealed to you, and yet there's still a supernatural presence there. That you, many times with revelation, you have it and you try to tell somebody and you can't give a revelation to someone else. You could talk and you might understand it because God revealed it to you, but that cannot go to someone else unless God reveals that to them.
Right.
Yeah.
But when a revelation comes to you, think of it on this wise. When a revelation of the Word, Christ the Word, comes to you, that is Christ coming to you.
to live that revelation he's given you through you. Because revelation gives you prevailing power. It gives you the ability to live now that word, not the letter of it, but the life behind it. When that revelation comes, that is him empowering you to live that portion of him that he wants you to be an expression of.
Yeah.
Now think about that. When God strikes your heart, that's him coming to you to live through you, which is what we want. See, he has a body, and his body is made up of many members. But not one member of your body can live unless the life of that body quickens it to live. Right? You can't lift your arm unless the life in you quickens that arm to live. And then if it quickens that arm to live, now that arm is expressing the life of the one inside it who's quickening it. Right? So he has a body and each one of us are members. And not one of us can live out and express the member that we are until that life comes into us and quickens us to live it. You can't do it. So it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ, the natural body and spiritual. And so when that revelation comes to you, now he's empowering you to live that part of the body that you are and to express something that only you can express because he's quickening it to you to live it.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you can do it. And that declares you to be in that body. Because now he's causing you to live out part of him. And it shows you're part of him. Because it's by spirit, by revelation, you've been quickened to do that. I know it's a simple concept, but it's real. Mm-hmm. It's where so many people fail. They fail to get up and endeavor to walk in the spirit.
Right.
They fail to endeavor to live daily by revelation. So when something comes before you, you got a decision to make, that you go to that life within you, the revelation of the word, and see what that says about how to deal with the situation. Mm-hmm. And so many times I hear people say, well, I think this, and I think that, and it's contrary. Mm-hmm. But once you live and by the spirit of revelation, then it won't be contrary. It'll be with Scripture. And so that's declaring what portion of the body that you are. And so you see, there is, in this that I'm talking about, there is a proper discerning of the Lord's body. You know, we think about, when we say to discern the Lord's body, we all go to thinking about communion. Okay? Because what is the Lord's body? It's his members.
Right?
Yeah.
And each member has an interaction with the other members. And as the Scripture said, you know, that there's portions of my body produces enzymes and things that other portions need, and every member of the body knows how to minister to the needs of the rest of the body. That's why when a body member checks out, the whole body suffers.
Right?
Right? And we are a local body.
Yeah.
But when, you know, like Elijah and Rachel traveling, which is perfectly fine, but we miss them. We miss their presence.
Right.
Because they're part of this body. And it's that way with any member of the body. When you're gone, we miss you. We understand you have to do things, but we miss you because you're part of us. We're all one.
Yeah.
And so we supply things one for the other. And so each member, I'll say it this way, each member has an obligation, a responsibility to interact with the rest of the body.
Right.
Because that body needs something from you and you need something from the rest of the body.
Right.
It's a real simple concept. And so there is a proper discerning. And so discerning the Lord's body, you know, as he's talking about, they would come to church and they come to eat, and someone had to eat and some didn't have to eat, and you know, and you can imagine you've got somebody here and they're starving, and somebody else over here eating and then not sharing, and that's not walking charitably to your brother,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's why it talks about that in there. But there is a real discerning of the Lord's body to understand. And don't be trying to put something into the body of Christ that's not really part of him. So the discerning of the Lord's body that I'm speaking of here is that when he's the only one that can quicken you to live him, And if we try to live him without that quickening, then it's a different life we're presenting, and we're trying to place into the body of Christ a life, a member expression coming from a different life, and it's not the right body member, so we're not properly discerning the Lord's body. To properly discern the Lord's body is to make sure that what we place in there is truly an expression of him living by revelation through us. So we don't want to, we want to properly discern the Lord's body. Mm-hmm. If we try to do it without spiritual revelation, then it won't work. It hasn't worked for 2,000 years. People have tried that.
Right.
There are some throughout ages we know that did live right. That's why we have a message today. But in the whole, the thing that's wrong with the world, in Christian world, is that they're trying to live it according to their own idea and not by the Holy Ghost baptism that will quicken these things to us.
Yeah.
And we know in the natural, people that, you know, like if you need to have a kidney transplant and then get a kidney from somebody else, maybe somebody died in a car wreck, they had the right kind and they come and they give it to you, and people have to take medicine to make sure their body doesn't reject that member. Because the body knows that doesn't belong.
Yeah.
And the body of Christ knows when somebody's living something that's not right. Because they're living something that doesn't belong in the body. You see what I'm saying? And for us to be there, that's why I say, we won't be there. If we don't get the right thing in us here, we won't be there, because there's things that are offensive there. You know, I was thinking this morning, my Aunt Mary and I were talking about someone in our family, and they hold so much bitterness because of things that happened, somebody did to them years and years ago. People done things to all of us years ago. And I said, she'll never get anywhere. She won't make it if she doesn't get that out of her heart. You've got to forgive or he won't forgive, says Scriptures. Because unforgiveness is not permitted in that place where we're going. See? Unforgiveness is not permitted in the body of Christ. Don't try and put something in there that don't belong. You're not discerning the Lord's body. See? But the only thing that can go in there is the life that he lives through you. Now that can go there. And that's what we have to rely on. And quit trying it ourselves. I listen to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham himself, in his own opinion sometimes, He's just like the rest of us. I like to be the judge on that case, and just like we would. But yet, when you look back and realize when God spoke and lived through that man, there was a message. And sometimes, in Brother Ram's own opinion, that would, you know, that would be just himself, and he would tell you later. Because he'd get aggravated just like we could, right?
Yeah.
But see, it's Christ. That's what we want to just dig in, and our endeavor is to let him be the one to live through us by us getting into the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and the revelation of his word. And so his body knows what doesn't belong, and it won't permit it. Right? So here on earth we can claim it, and we can say we're a part of Christ living something contrary, but it won't enter there because his body knows. And it won't be permitted.
Yeah.
God knows his own people. I think the Scripture says something like that. Even if we deny him, he can't deny himself. Think about that. Even if we get down in the mully grubs and we doubt ourselves and even doubt our own experience, he don't deny his own body. He knows who belongs to him. Right? And he's not turned his back on it. So we must realize that if we're not living by the Spirit, we're trying to place actions in as being part of Christianity, part of the body of Christ, and it's not. There is a discerning. And the Holy Spirit, remember what I said, with the Holy Spirit, deception goes away. When you walk in the Spirit, when you walk in revelation, no more false this and false that. And so, Brother Ram, in the message called Choosing of a Bride, you know, he talks about it. I think reads the Scripture there about going to find that wife for Isaac. But then he goes over to the book of Revelation. He reads the Scripture and says, these are the opening Scriptures. He says, reads it where he says, I saw one of the seven angels come and say, let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's what he opens with. So we realize John is a type of the bride. And in the Bible, John, an angel comes to John and says, John, let me show you the bride. Let me show you who she is. Let me show what it's all about. And that meaning, since John was a type of the bride, then in our day, we would have an angelic visitation that would come and say to us, let me show you who the bride is. And that's exactly what happened. You say, when that happened? Well, it happened, if nothing, the whole message did it. But if nothing else, it happened when he preached this sermon, the choosing of a bride, because that angelic minister from heaven, a prophet, right, being a messenger, he was telling us, let me show you who the bride is. Let me show you what kind of bride the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And so that was fulfilling that scripture. Because this angel said to us, let me show you the choosing of a bride. And so in that sermon, Brother Branham says, let me back up and say this. What other minister tried to tell us that? None. We had one voice in our day, and then of course the other ministers coming from behind that voice, but one voice that was willing to stand there and say, this stuff is wrong. Let me show you who the bride is. She'll be the Word. So that was that angel showing this to us. And therefore, if that's scripture, and John was able to see who this bride was, and then here we are in our day, and that angel has come to us, and even said so, I am one of thy fellow servants of the prophets, because John wanted to worship. Then that's happened to us. And so we must realize that angelic messenger, when he says, let me show you who the bride is and what she is, and that's who she is. What he shared with us is a very clear understanding of who she is and what she is. And so in there, Brother Branham tells us, said, you know, we have an obligation. We choose many things in life or whatever. And a man will choose his wife. And if a man is a good Christian man, a good, settled, Holy Ghost-filled man, he's not going to choose a wife because of outward beauty. Right? Not because of outward beauty. Not because of something else about her or about the arrangement that's outside of the economy of God. But he'll choose her by character. And character alone. But what she is inside. And so he tells us about it in there. And what he's trying to tell us is, who do you think Christ is going to pick? Is he going to pick a church that's got all these millions? And their women are bobbed hair and all these things. Do you think Christ is going to pick a church because of their beauty? No. Just a few days ago, and I went and my wife and I, a guy I work with, is of the Mormon faith, and they opened a new temple up there, just at the exit there by, and he asked us if we would go with him. They were doing tours for 2 weeks. There's not anybody going there, it's any old time. And so they built it and they made it to where a couple of weeks that people could come and you could go and they would show it to you and so forth. And so I said, yeah, we will go. Me and my wife, we went. And I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of architecture, fine work, places that we wouldn't even could never imagine ever being able to live in a place like that. And I've never seen anything as impeccable. There, from one paint color to the next, was literally a razor. I looked and I looked and I looked. There's stonework. There's everything. Isn't that right? My wife's shaking her head. Absolutely. They built a house. They've built something for the Lord. And that's in their faith. I understand why they do what they do. And I'm not condemning that they do that. I mean, but what house will you build me, saith the Lord? The most finest work that can be done. I mean, I wish you could go there. Maybe you could drive up in the parking lot and just look at the outside of it. But I bet you Buckingham Palace isn't as good as this. Maybe it is. I don't know. I've never been to Buckingham Palace. But you understand. So, but is God going to pick a bride because of their outward beauty? No. He's going to pick her because of the character that she has in her heart to his word. And so, I said, he's not going to pick something that's outside of the economy of God. You know, her because of something outside of the economy of God. Because she's smart or beautiful or something like that. God has an economy of the way things are to be. You know, the way a man's to find a wife, and well, you know, and the way they're to live and raise their children. There's an economy of God. And it's foreign to most people in the world. Even us in the message probably don't grasp a lot of things about it. But there's an economy of God. And the revelation is to bring us an understanding and a settled peace and what that economy of God is. And so if in the economy of God, there's a certain way for a man to realize that's the one for him to marry, then if it comes some other way, it's outside of the economy of God. So if he's supposed to find her, and God is to reveal to him that she's the one, and reveal to her that he's the one. And it's by revelation. And it's not because they spend some time alone when they shouldn't be or anything like that. It's but when they've done everything right, and it comes God's providing way, there's an economy of God that how that's to be. And so God's not going to endorse something that comes outside of his economy. And I say that to say this, and I agree with this because I heard Lonnie Jenkins say something about this years ago. But say a young couple, man, a little boy and girl, and they like one another and so forth. And yet, you know, and so she's a believer, but he's not, or vice versa. And so she's a believer and he's not. And you're like, you know, but I love him. And he's an unbeliever. So where's her love coming from, she thinks, for this man, when the scripture says, when the Holy Spirit would never lead her to go after someone who's outside the message because he'd be against his own word, right? Mm-hmm. We're not to yoke up with someone outside of out of the faith, right? Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit would never put upon her love for someone outside of the message, outside of the word, because it'd be contrary to his word, so then that would be outside of the economy of God. That's not the way God would do it. See, and so then her love that she has is not really love from God for that man. It's a lust or it's an infatuation. It's a love of an emotion of some sort, comes from some other place. It can't be real because it's contrary to the word. Yeah. Now that's not saying God can't come along outside of that if they make that mistake and fix, you know. And so I wasn't serving the Lord when I married my wife. Well, God can do that, but that's up to him. But I'm talking about God's economy. And so he said, oh, but I love him. Yeah, but it can't be real love from God. And because of that, then it can't brave the storm. Right. When life comes along and the rough things come, and that's why there's so many divorces, because people don't wait on God and choose their mates according to choosing of a bride. And therefore, just like the church world thinks that Christ will pick just any old thing, they pick just any old thing, and it winds up in a flock. Right. But Christ will pick the one that has the character, and if a man would do that, he wouldn't have to worry about it. Right? Mm-hmm. Just simple concept there. But that's why there's so much divorce. There will not be a divorce in heaven. Christ is not going to have to put her away once that union happens, see? Because he knows he chooses the right one. And that's why that prophet proved choosing of a bride. I said all that to say, take this back to discerning the Lord's body. Right? Discerning the Lord's body. So, in this thought this morning of we must be in the Spirit or we're not going to do it right. We must, then we have an obligation. I'm closing this to say this. We have an obligation as Christians to do everything we can to turn the world off and get in the Spirit. And I realize we work. Most of us have jobs. We have to go. We have to deal with all that. But in every case, every opportunity that we can, we have an obligation to try and turn that world off, click it, get away from it, and get yourself alone and have time that you can get in the Spirit. Because only when you get and you're walking in that Spirit can you truly live it the way God would want you to live it. We just read the quote there a while ago. And so, you know, we all like to sit down and have a time of relaxation. Especially you come home from work and you're tired and so forth. And so God understands that. But we still have an obligation, and I believe on a daily basis, to give the Holy Spirit a chance to quicken you and speak to you and catch you up in the Spirit. Because you realize, we read there in the Scriptures in Revelation 1:10 and Revelation 4:2, where John was caught up in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. And in those cases, that's when John was able to see things that he wouldn't see otherwise. Right? You realize once you're quickened, now you can see things in the economy of God that you can't if you're not quickened. Right? You say, Brother Tony, I'm a Christian. I got the Holy Ghost a long time ago. But you still have to walk in the Spirit.
Right.
You still have to do, and you have to make that effort. And the world is designed to keep you from getting in the Spirit.
Right.
The world wants you in the world spirit. It's like a ball game. You know, you're not going to have a good time unless you, but if you can get in the spirit of the ball game, then you'll have a better time, right? You understand that. And it's that way with anything. And so, you know, there's a lot of things we could say about spirits and things like that, but in both of those cases there, and all these cases, when you get in the Spirit, you can see things. And so John, we see in John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, where John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, right? And we realize what Brother Bram said, that was the day of the Lord at the end time. But you realize John was in the Spirit. John had been praying. John, just like we know, the apostles spent their time to prayer and to word and sort of things, and let the different ones wait on the houses of the widows and stuff like that, so they could give themselves. They gave themselves to the word so that they could be quickened and that could work through them. That's what ministers do. But it's not just for ministers. Each one of us is a body member of the Christ. Of Christ, your obligation is to let that spirit of life in you quicken you to be the part of the member that you are, that you belong to,
right,
of Christ. And so John there was in the Spirit, and because he was in the Spirit, he began to see things that he wouldn't see otherwise. And so you can spend time to get in the Spirit, but then there's also times when you're going along and God wants to put you in the Spirit. And so Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, John says, immediately I was in the Spirit. God caught him up. And Brother Evan said, that's rapture. Right? That's rapture. He saw a door open in heaven and one sitting on the throne. And he said, immediately I was in the Spirit. So God can quicken you at any moment. Just like I said, you'd be going along and he just speaks something. Just through the Spirit, bam, right there. And just a whole thing, a whole sermon, a whole topic just opens up. And you've never seen it before. Just from one phrase that the Spirit will speak to you. Isn't that right, brother? Just because to get in the Spirit, deception goes away. Right? Get in the Spirit and we'll live it right. And so, in that case there, Revelation chapter 4, verse 2, God pulled him up into the Spirit. Either way, we want to be in the Spirit. And walk that way. And so us as believers, this is the thing that we have. We have a responsibility to conduct to endeavor to shut things out, to make that time to get along with the Lord, to do these things, and not just coming to the house of God on Sundays or Wednesdays. But in our lives that we, because you know what? Monday, Tuesday, you know, at work, those are grand opportunities that we need to be walking in the Spirit. Because when you're in that, you will say the right thing. The inspiration will come to say and do the right thing. And so, Brother Bam tells us, we understand in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, that's the rapture. And look what happened. As soon as John, that happened, he was caught up in the Spirit, and then he began to see full redemption. The Lamb opened the seals. Now that's us. As soon as this message strikes us and we can just let it catch us up into the Spirit, we will fully understand redemption and what it's done for us.
Right.
Because that's what happened to John. We will be able to see the wonders of this message unfold. Because John couldn't until that happened. Amen? Remember, John couldn't even look on that book. But after the Lamb opened the seals, then he could take it, look on it, read it. Amen? And that's when no more deception. No more deception in the church when we can walk in the spirit of this message that God has given us. Amen? May the Lord bless you. I let the musicians come. I trust that this has spoke to you and been help to you. This has been our hearts to you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we love you, Lord. How we appreciate, Lord, the different times that you come and you speak to us and you take us down a channel that we've never seen before. Lord, we understand because it is your word, it's the living word. And so, Lord, we just, that's our daily bread as believers and as ministers. We want to share that. We want to encourage our people, Lord, just to be inspired by your word and to feed on that daily bread. I pray, God, that you would just cause that to be a greater experience in the lives of each one, Lord, hearing this, Lord, that their lives would be enhanced as they walk in your spirit. We love you, Lord, and we just commit them to you now. Ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll sing a song just for a moment and then be dismissed.